Good evening, everybody, and I want to welcome you. This is a new schedule for us. For those of you that don't know, and those of you in internet world, we are in Sacramento for our 2014 CCB State Convention. So if you guys say hello world on the count of three, you'll be broadcasting your voices throughout the world via the internet. We are streaming live. So one, two, three, say hello. There you go, see? All right. Now, today it's a new schedule, and I'm sorry I'm interfering with people's lunches, but just think of the knowledge that you'll acquire, and knowledge is power. Okay, now that I gave my BS speech, time for the real thing. Today, we have two presenters that are outstanding. I'm looking forward to both of them because I work with clients who use both of these products. My name? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Pedro de Pacas. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Hello, world. My name is Louis Herrera, and I am the technology chair for the California Council of the Blind. And, well, thank you. That's nice. Yo. And we're streaming live, and I didn't introduce myself. Now Pam is going to let me know about it. Okay. As I was saying, I welcome everybody here, and I hope we get more people, because here's the thing. Whenever I think about what people ask me to look into and people want to know about technology and resources, software, hardware, that helps all of us, it's important to bring it. If we can get it in and get the vendors, manufacturers, whoever, to show themselves up so that we can at least get a chance to see this technology and try out and learn about it. ZoomTex is a prime example. Kimberly Klein is here from AI Squared. Kimberly has never found a real home. She keeps jumping from company to company. Now she's at AI Squared, which is good because she's an outstanding lady. I've known Kimberly for a long time, and now she's working with a company that has got what I consider to be the best screen magnification and soon to be imaging software, OCR software, for those of you that are ZoomTex users who want to have something that's familiar to your desktop and you don't have to worry about learning a new interface. It makes more sense to have something that's going to work with what you're comfortable with. And ZoomTex does have a product called Image Reader, and she'll tell you more about it. She'll also talk to you about other things that are going on with AI Squared. And after that, we will have a presentation on Intuit, a product called QuickBooks. And I know that some of you say, why QuickBooks? Because that's a product that's very common in business. And those of you in academia that want to go into business, you'll come across that product one time or another. And for the first time, we're going to have something accessible that's going to make it easier for all of us. So I will turn the microphone to our first presenter, Kimberly Klein, and I will be quiet. And you guys enjoy. For those of you that are totally blind, we also have accommodations. See, we are into the reasonable accommodation theme, and we have an overhead projector that has magnification on the wall for those of you that can see that. Doesn't help me any, but that's okay. So I will turn the microphone over to Kimberly. Welcome, Kimberly, and I look forward to hearing what you have to teach us.
Well, thank you very much. As Louis said, I've known Louis for a long time, and he's a great guy, and I'm really, really thrilled that he invited me out today. How many people have heard of ZoomTex? Raise your hand. Wow, okay, so almost everybody in this room. And then let me rephrase it. How many people have not heard of ZoomTex? Okay, so just a couple. That's good. Good, so we're in good company. So I am from AI Squared. As Louis said, there is a projection up here. It's not very big, so it's going to help me stay in focus to keep going along and go through a presentation to make sure that I don't forget anything. So basically, AI Squared is the maker of ZoomTex. ZoomTex is a screen magnification software, and it also has a screen reader built in it. It's not a full-blown screen reader, but it's a limited screen reader, so it does have some speech attached to it as well. And so basically, I would like to talk about this and some of our other products, as Louis mentioned. We do now have an OCR product called Image Reader. You can either run it with or without Zoom Text, and I'll run you through the paces with both of those products. Our brand latest new product that we have is called Site Cues, SiteCues, and I'll play you a little video and talk about that as well. And we also have Zoom Text for Mac. How many Mac heads in here? Just a few. Okay. So Zoom Text for Mac allows you to use some of the Zoom Text type qualities on the Mac. We are adding speech and a few other things that I'll be talking about as well. So I basically have you for the next 45 minutes. And we didn't do a booth here because we have a dealer here. We have a master dealer here, Sterling Adaptives. So Mark and Leslie Gibbons, how many people know them? Okay, good, good, good. So if you want to come by their booth, you can spend time. I'll be there tomorrow, but you can spend time with me or with Mark on any of these products and get some questions answered, hand-holding, practice, or any of these things. So we'll have them all at the booth tomorrow because we have another presentation after me. So I want to kind of go through some things, but of course, if you have questions, raise your hand. I am fully sighted if I have my glasses on, and I do have them on right now, so that's a good thing. But as Louis said, we've known each other for a while. I've been in this industry about 25 years, so I'm older than dirt, and clear back in the old DOS days. So I started back with Zoom Text for DOS and Visibility and Vocalize and, you know, all the – I taught Flipper, one of the first screen readers that was out there. Okay, so that kind of tells you how old I am. I did not work with that. Yeah, Arctic Vision, so, yeah, some of those. So basically, though, let me just kind of give you a brief history about our company and our products, and then I'll kind of go into some demonstrations, and then I'll open it up for questions. We were founded in 1987. Our headquarters are in Manchester Center, Vermont. Anybody been in Vermont? Not that many. It's beautiful. If you ever get there, please come by our headquarters. It's a great place to go and get wonderful maple syrup. Also, all the beauty of the trees and the changing of the trees at certain times of the year, but it's a fun place. So it's nice because I get to go there about four times a year. I'm based in Las Vegas, Nevada, so I'm not that far from you guys. So I do spend a lot of time in California. In fact, I kind of oversee the West Coast. Our flagship product, of course, is Zoom Text. It's been number one screen magnification for a very long time. And one of the reasons for that is the X font technology. So whether you're at 1X or 36X, it's very crystal clear. You don't get the dot-to-dot look to where you're trying to get the pixelation and trying to form the letter together. It still looks really, really good. Our product is localized for 23 languages, and it's sold in 40 countries. And we have about 300 dealers worldwide. So it kind of gives you an idea of the span of our product. So the main products we have, and I have them up here if you're able to see, but we have a product called Zoom Text Express, Zoom Text Mag and Mag Reader. We have large print keyboards, and I have those up here if you want me to pass them around. Of course, Zoom Text Mac. We have the I Love You, which is the handheld magnifier, which I have that as well. And then Image Reader, which is our new product. It's been out about a year. It's our OCR. And then Site Cues. I do not know why focus is not staying on this. So basically, we have a family of products. We've got the electronic desktop solutions for Mag and Mag Reader. We've got print solutions. So if you have something that's printed and you want it to be coming read to you, that's the OCR solution. We do have some mobile solutions. We have Zoom Reader and Zoom Contacts that work on the iPhone. And if your next question is, when is that going to work on the Droid? Come and talk to me. We're looking at different things, but right now, you know, mobile technology is just an interesting subject. And then, of course, our latest product is called Site Cues, and it's a web solution-based product that not you, the end user, purchases, but organizations purchase and put on their website. So we have a family of products, something for everyone. I think you guys probably know the benefits of screen magnification and screen reading, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But basically, it helps reduce eye strain. It allows users to be productive as employees. Or if you're using the computer for fun, you're going to be able to more effectively email friends and family, if you're a Facebook user or anything like that, it's just allowing you to be able to use the computer effectively and have fun with it. And that's very important. I'm going to kind of buzz through a lot of these because ZoomText Magnifier and MagReader allow you to go from 1 to 36x. So if your needs are clear up to 10x or something like that, you're probably going to be using the screen reading portion, and you might even be using a full-blown screen reader at that point. We do work with screen readers that are on the market. So if you're using already WindowEyes or JAWS or NVDA or any of those type of products, we do interface with those and work. We, of course, have things that track on all-screen activity. We have web and desktop finders, again, the X font technology. And we currently are working on extended desktop dual monitor support. That's probably been a weak spot in our product for a while, and that's something that we're currently working and will be released soon. I just don't have an exact date. And they say, sure. All right, I'm going to skip through some of these. We also have ZoomText on a USB. So those of you that need it for portable purposes, that can be another way to purchase the product. So if you're going from computer to computer, or if you're needing it from work or home. Now, when you do use that, you do have to have permission. So if you went into a library or you went into a college or something, you do have to have permission to put that on, because an actual demo of ZoomText has to be installed onto that computer. So it's not just total plug and play and walk away. You do have to have something on your computer already. And we can talk about that more if you have questions as well. We have a little bit up here about our interface. The other thing that we have that I brought to the company about a year and a half ago is a class called ZoomText University. Louis has taken the class. I have a schedule of the classes, and I can talk to you more about that. In fact, I just decided this as I got up here. Why don't you guys come by Sterling's booth, and I'll let them know. You guys can fill out. I'm sure he'll have little cards or something, and we'll draw a winner, and I'll give away a free ZoomText University of your choice. So I just kind of decided this up here. But anyways, it's a $399 value. You can come out, again, pick whichever location you want. It's a two-day training from 9 to 4. We provide the computers if you prefer us to do that, or sometimes the training locations have them, or people like to bring their own. But we come in for 2 days. It's myself. We have three trainers from the office, and then we also have a couple contract trainers that also train for us. Savannah Rainey, who works for ATS, which is here, is an amazing trainer, and she does go out and do some trainings for us and travels and does some of that for us as well. So that's the type of quality of trainer you're going to get. You're going to get a Savannah or someone from our company, so you're going to be very, very pleased. For the trainings, again, it's 2 days. It's 9 to 4. We provide not only lunch and snacks for the 2 days, but then we give you a great ZoomText University bag, some handouts. And then I also brought what the curriculum looks like. So if you want to see it, we provide curriculum on a USB. It's about 350 pages of notes. So you don't have to remember everything from the 2 days. You can learn it, digest it, own it, and then be able to look back at the notes as well. Some of the trainings we have coming up, I'm in Southern California next week. So that's April 15th and 16th. We're also doing some stuff in Fort Lauderdale, Littleton, Colorado, Vermont, Pennsylvania. I just booked one today in Nashville. So we've got a lot of different classes that we're offering in different places. I always say, give me five people and that's a training. Yes, sir. I'm at Braille Institute Anaheim. Yeah, and I do, the class has got 10, but I think there's 12 computers in that room. So if somebody ends up being the winner and wants that one, that's me. I'll be the trainer for that one because I fly home from here on Friday and I fly in there on Sunday. So it's 2 days. It's Tuesday and Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's a full day. We start in the morning and we go to the end. And we're also running another special right now that anybody that signs up, let's say you don't win and you say, well, I just want to sign up for ZoomText University. It is $399. We fly out to whatever location that it is, but we're giving away our certification test for free right now as well. So anybody that signs up, whether they paid for the class or they won it or got it for free, they get the certification for free. That's a special we're running to the end of May. And then our certification test normally costs $149. It's an online test. You have 4 hours to take it. Louis has taken it. I'll tell you, he passed it. So So again, whether you have a limited vision or no vision at all, my background is teaching people with no vision. So I'm a very visual teacher. So I think it's really important because there's a lot of people in the industry that even though they have no vision, they're expected to teach or work with people that have limited vision. So because maybe they're doing assessments or training or whatever. So if you are working with Zoom techs and you have very limited or no vision, don't think that you're not going to get a lot out of class because all the trainers that we have come through, besides myself, are taught to train that way, very visual, because it's very important. You need to know when things are expanding. And the nice thing about it is our software, about 95% of it can be run with keystrokes. So we teach you keystrokes, mouse strokes, and then pull-down menus. So there's no right or wrong way. It's whatever works for you or the client. The notes are set up the same way. We teach you in the notes how to use the keystrokes, the hotkeys, the pull-down menus, or use the mouse. And Beth, you had a question? Right now, I don't have anything set for Northern California. We can talk about that. I am on the road, so right now I can tell you I have nothing, because that would be me. I have nothing open in my schedule because of they've just got me on the road for this and all the summer shows, and I'll be, shouldn't be sharing this because it's personal, but my son is graduating from West Point this year, and he's getting married 10 days later, so that's May and June. So I'm pretty much off the grid for training right now. I wouldn't be able to put anything new on the books till probably August. So any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay. We teach that in the class. We have a section on how to handle PDF files. We do interface with JAWS. Let me kind of explain to you all of that, whether we're using Zoom Text, with WindowEyes, with JAWS, with NVDA. It's always our preference to interface with all of the companies. We don't have a full-blown screen reader. Okay, at this point, we just don't. We are a low-vision company. We reach out to people with limited vision. So we always want to interface with all of these companies. I will be very honest. They have to be willing to play in the sandbox well with us. So if we have an issue where we're not tracking or something's not working well, we call them and we say, let's work on this. If they're not willing to work on certain things, there's not a lot we can do, because you know how it's when you're having a discussion with someone and they won't discuss back with you, you can't make a lot of progress. So every time we try to get things working, and then sometimes they come out with new upgrades and things change, and if they're not willing to look at all that, there's not a lot we can do on our side. But we try, and sometimes we've done some scripting and things around issues that are there that they're not willing to come halfway with us. We just try to work around it. So sorry for some of that frustration, and I'm not putting any other company down, but just know we want to work with every company. That's our goal. But sometimes we don't get them wanting to work with us too well. I will tell you that the people at GW Micro are very open. We're doing some stuff with them right now where if there's any problems with their software, that they're basically saying, what do we need to do? Let's get our programmers together and fix this. And that's what we hope from every company. But we're not going to always have that. You've got to realize that, because, of course, they have magic and other things that are competition to our software. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. No, that's what they're there for. That's called job security for them. What version are you using? What version? Office 20. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, 10.1 would be working with Windows 8. So let me kind of tell you, it's 10 then. Do you have either a minute to stay after or come by the booth? Because I'll give you my card and anything I can do to assist with any of that. So you brought up a really good point, though, because Zoom Text, here's where we're at with Zoom Text right now. Is Zoom Text, is it version 10 or 10.1? We're in a really weird state right now. We don't like this. It's confusing, and I work there. So I can imagine how confusing it is for everybody else. But here's what happened. Windows 8 came out. Office 2013 came out, IE 10, 11, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff keeps coming out. And we had to make some decisions. We had to say, hey, are we going to work across the board with Office 2013 and everything, or what are we going to do here? And there was a lot of people using Windows 8 that basically they were going to lose their jobs if we weren't working in Windows 8. So we were one of the first people to come out and fully work with Windows 8 and Office 2013. However, that put us behind the eight ball with people using Windows 7 and Office 2013. So we're currently catching up with that technology, and that version is version 10, and that will be version 10.1, and eventually we'll have one software, 10.1, that works across the board in Windows 7 and Windows 8. Eventually, XP is not going to be around. Microsoft is not going to support it either. So we... XP is not going to be around. Microsoft is not. Yeah, so basically, here's what will happen with that. We can't continue to support something they're not supporting. You'll still be able to purchase that technology from us, but we're not going to continue with all of our new updates to be testing with the XP environment because of the fact they're not supporting it. So that's kind of where we're at with that. So right now we're at version 10 for Windows 7 and XP and Vista, 10.1 for Windows 8 and 8.1. In 8 and 8.1, we do work with touchscreen support as well. That's something that we did in 8 and didn't in 8.1, but now we do. And in 8 and 8.1, Microsoft doesn't support IE, their latest versions of IE in Windows 8 because they don't want people using Windows 8. They want them using 8.1. But we support all of that in the 8 and 8.1 environment, the latest versions of IE and Office 2013. Yes, sir. Well, we made a lot of changes in version 10. I will let you know that because I launched the training program a couple years ago, and I think when I started with the company, they didn't realize how many very limited people with vision to no vision at all are using our software. And I was telling them they were, but since I've been out there now, they're hearing it and they're seeing it. So we're finding some flaws in our software that maybe they didn't really know existed that I'm finding during that training process. So I'm bringing them back to Scott Moore, who's worked for our company for, since its beginning, I think about 25 years. And he and I are sitting down when we come out with ZoomText version 11, and some of the speech problems that have been there for a while will be corrected. Yes. If you can point me to a web page, if you come by Sterling Adaptive's booth tomorrow and show me that, I'd love to take it back because I think we've corrected a lot of that. But if you know of a particular one that's messed up, let me know and I'll... Okay. So make sure you come by and grab my cards and I can be your guys' first line of defense down there. I may not be able to be the one that fixes the problem, but I'll know the person that can.
Hi.
Wow, you sound pretty good there, huh?
Hi.
Woo woo.
At the Sterling Adaptives, the trainer where they did ZoomText maybe 2 years ago.
That's right when I started.
Yeah, I was there. I got that free copy of ZoomText.
That was me. I had just started. Derek Bovey did the training.
Yeah, and it says I need a Vista display driver installed. I can't install it. I don't get it.
Okay, come by the booth and see me tomorrow at Sterling's, and we'll get that taken care of for you.
Okay.
Make sure you grab my card. I'm Kimberly Klein. Real easy to get a hold of me. I give everybody my cell phone number. I give everybody every number to get a hold of me. So basically, I have no life, but that's okay. So to email me, it's just kklein, C-L-I-N-E, at aisquare.com. Or if you just call our main number, I'm extension 152. Everything forwards to my cell phone because I'm on the road 3 weeks out of the month. So... if I don't get back to you, I didn't get your message because that's a pet peeve of mine. I really try to get back to people quickly. Okay, so I'm going to kind of scrap this because we're all over the place at this point. So I want to talk about site queues quickly and then get into some product demo because I don't want to get into the next presentation and have not covered anything on the presentation side. So site queues is our brand new product. I'll show you a quick demo about it. And then if you either want to come by the booth tomorrow because I didn't realize, but I brought the wrong interface adapter to have my Mac product go up on the screen. SiteQ's is a product, again, not for you to purchase, but for companies and organizations to purchase. It would be that they're putting an actual badge up on their website because they have people that are trying to use their website and they don't have assistive technology. Maybe they don't have Zoom Text or they don't have a screen reader, and the people are locked out of that particular site. So this is allowing you to use the particular sites that have SiteQ's on it and be able to scroll with it. You have to have some vision. It's not set up yet. We're working towards that. Right now it's set up for people that are legally blind at 2200. So I'd say it goes up to about 4 or 5X. And then the speech reading, you have to use the mouse still, and I'll show you some of this in just a minute. But it's allowing you to be able to use those pages. The nice thing about this is if we can get enough people using SiteQ's, so I'm talking companies, the Amtrak's, Target, all the places you frequent and maybe go to, you're going to be able to utilize all of that, and you won't have to have the assistive technology on your machine because they're going to provide that for you for their site. The nice thing about it is it works across all platforms. So it's going to work in Chrome. It's going to work in Safari. It's going to work in IE. It's going to work in Firefox. Eventually, we're going to have touchscreen support with it, and it's going to work on a mobile platform as well. So Bank of America, all the banks, you're trying to do all that, and you don't have your assistive technology with you. It's going to be embedded in their sites if that's a company that decides to purchase it. So let me show you a small video about it, and that'll kind of give you an idea. I can answer questions. Again, come by the booth tomorrow, and I'll make sure that it's set up there. And I'll be at the booth part of the day. I've got some meetings in the morning, but I'll be at the booth part of the day. But also Sterling Adaptives is familiar with the software, and they can answer some questions for you about it as well. So let me quickly go out to Chrome and show you a small video. Yeah, I've got speaker. Oh, okay. I'm pretty ready to go.
People vary greatly, but the web is currently delivered as a one-size-fits-all. SiteQ's makes websites easier to read, see, and hear for boomers, seniors, or anyone with challenges reading print. Zoom and speech are seamlessly integrated into your website, making the web experience more enjoyable for users and helping organizations reach the widest possible audience. The SiteQ's badge is located in the upper right-hand corner of this webpage. The instantly recognizable badge is reminiscent of a common font size control with an updated look and feel. The talk button is designed to be intuitive and recognizable. Here, the badge appears so that it's accessible to users with as low as 2200 vision. As the user moves the mouse pointer to investigate the badge, it expands into an easy-to-see panel with two controls. The overall experience is very easy to use, avoids any type of confusion or intimidation, and inspires longer page visits along with brand loyalty. To help reach, retain, and engage site visitors, the SiteQ's user interface does not contain any disability references. This avoids turning away users who might have trouble using your site, but do not consider themselves to be disabled. In turn, visitors become customers and brand loyalists because of such a positive and enjoyable experience on your site. First, here's a demonstration of the Zoom slider without enabling the talk feature. The Zoom slider provides instant results. The user can customize the current page to the exact size they need. The plus and minus keys can also be used to zoom in or out from anywhere in the web page. The real secret to the Zoom slider's usefulness is that it does far more than zoom. As the user moves the slider, other visual enhancements to the mouse cursor and focus indicator are automatically turned on. These enhancements are strengthened in proportion to each user's needs. Features are very intuitive, and users enjoy the self-discovery while engaging with your site. The next core feature is one-touch read. As the user moves past 2x, this feature is described with a verbal cue.
Hi. You can zoom in even more on parts of this web page, such as text. Just move your mouse to something you want to read, and press the space bar key on your keyboard.
As described, the user simply highlights content with the mouse pointer and presses the space bar. The entire highlighted section pops out. Links and other interactive elements within the zoomed area are still active and fully functional. By dimming the content outside of the box, SiteQ's reduces the visual noise of the page. This improves reading your content for users with visual disabilities, learning disabilities, and attention issues. Hitting the spacebar again closes the reading box. The ease of switching back and forth allows users to make better use of the page overview,
utilizing headings and page layout to help them find an area of interest. It's a simple matter of pressing the spacebar to delve in further. Even images and form controls can be expanded. Users really love this contextual reading feature because they can focus on a content area of their choice. Another automatic enhancement is the enlarged mouse cursor. The more the user zooms, the larger it becomes. This helps users find the mouse and click on exactly what they need. Using zoom also makes the focus box more visible. With this feature, the user knows exactly what field they're editing and can type with confidence. All of these features to see everything better are automatically activated by the intuitive zoom slider. Yet another powerful feature is spacebar to read. This is easily found by reopening the panel and clicking on the talk toggle button.
Speech on.
Pressing the spacebar now also reads the content aloud.
Man controls bionic leg with his thoughts.
To stop speech, the user simply presses the spacebar again or hits the escape key.
With the lingering effects of the Great Recession slowly disappearing.
In contrast to other approaches, Psyche's lets users easily control what is read aloud.
Curtain call.
Users enjoy using the spacebar to read without the overwhelming chatter produced by other tools.
A few words about USC's Leonard Williams.
User feedback indicates that this one-touch trigger is a game-changer when it comes to speech-enabling websites. To further unleash the potential of speech on your website, Psyche's also offers a secure text-to-speech engine. By following PCI best practice standards to protect personally identifiable information, the Psyche speech engine can make it easier for your customers to create a user profile, make a credit card transaction, or even access rewards or bank balances. You can confidently enable Psyche's on every page of your website. In addition to all of its great user features, Psyche's has a secure and scalable backend complete with metrics, multi-language support, and a customizable dictionary to provide you with a complete solution. Simplified licensing, 24/7 technical support, and one script tag implementation make Psyche's a turnkey cloud-based SaaS solution that requires little additional effort from your team to implement, manage, and support. In summary, Psyche's makes using and navigating web content easier. Its user-centric design provides useful features for the full spectrum of user abilities so that you can reach every customer. For more information, contact sales@psyches.com.
Okay, so Psyches again is our new product. Basically, what it would do for you as an end user is if you were on a web page that someone had purchased Psyches, you would be able to use this type of one-touch technology for making the screen magnification or having it speak to you. When it speaks to you, maybe weren't able to see this, but everything dimmed out in the background and what it is that you hit the spacebar on gets larger and it comes and reads it to you. It's the same thing if you're filling out a form. So if you're trying to fill out a form, you're trying to order a plane ticket or, you know, buy something online, you have that capability. Any questions about the Psyches technology, what it's good for, that type of thing? Sitecues. Psyches. So if you want to go to the web page, there's a live demo there as well. It's just www.sitecues.com. If you have a particular URL or web page that you want us to test it with, come by the booth tomorrow. Let me have that information, and we can put we can test it. And if it's already could be working up on your site, we can actually put it on there for you to check it out and try it. Yes, ma'am. That's a great question. Right now, we've only made it for low vision individuals. It's not at the point where it's totally accessible for someone with no vision. But how it works is if you roll the mouse up, if you can see or have partial vision, you roll the mouse up and it totally, as soon as you roll up near that area, it expands and gets larger. Pardon? Correct. And it gets larger for you. That is correct. And it's a badge. All the badges are usually located in the upper area. We give the people, when they purchase it, the ability to put the badge at the middle, the left, the right, and then their color scheme usually matches the scheme color of their site. Okay, I'm going to, yes, in the back.
It's this separates out low vision and blind access, at least as long as it's not accessible to blind people. And I could imagine some company who doesn't know anything about this would say, oh, I got it now, low vision access, great, you know, and then only to find that for blind people, they need to do still something else.
Well, we're very clear when we reach out to companies, we're letting them know this is not making them 508 compliant. you know, but it's at least they're doing something. I mean, if they had nothing on their site, it's a start for them. And I think if anything, I understand your concerns, but I think if anything, it's opening up the world of technology to where they can see, okay, I did this, and now what do I need to do? What's the next steps that I need to take? So I think instead of looking at it as a glass half empty, let's look at it as a glass half full, and we can come in and start somewhere, talk to them and educate them, and let's see. And we're planning to go to that next level, but we've got to start somewhere. But I do understand your concerns. Okay, the next thing I wanted to show you guys is Image Reader, which is our OCR product that Louis talked about. Again, it's a standalone product. You can use it with or without Zoom Text. Those of you that have no vision, we created it. It's a low vision product. So the portion that speaks with it is when it does the OCR. But if you want it to fully speak all the time, you can either run it with Zoom Text or with Window Eyes or with NVDA or with JAWS. But because of the fact, when we wrote it for people that have low vision and it's became so popular, we said, okay, the next version of it, we're going to make it self-voice on its own. That way people that don't have these other assistive technologies and maybe they just want to use OCR products, they'll be able to have that. So again, when we created it, we thought, well, this is a really great product for people that have low vision. But also, you know, a lot of people said, well, you know, OCR has been out for like 20 years. You're kind of slow and late in coming into the game with this. And we said, yeah, I can see where you would think that. But we took kind of a survey of people on the market and said, you know, you're probably using Kurzweil or OpenBook or all these other great products that are out there. What's good about them and what's not so good about them? And so the four things we heard over and over were the four things we put in this product. Number one was they're too expensive. Okay, they cost, you know, an arm and a leg, and then you got to buy a scanner, which costs you the other arm or leg. The other thing is they're too complicated. You know, I don't want all the bells and whistles. It's nice that they can maybe do a few of these things, but I don't use half of the other stuff. So it kind of bulks up the software, and I don't need all of that. And the other major thing that we heard was inconsistency with reading. You know, am I too good on this, but not so good on this? You know, it does great for reading left to right, but you throw something in there with columns, and now it doesn't do so good anymore. So we said, okay, those are the main three things that we need to do. And what we did is, and I'll, again, I can pass this around, or you can come by the booth, but we found a camera that's consistent. So every single time you scan with it, it's going to do a really good job. We're just using AbbVie Fine, which a lot of the major companies are using out there. But I think the camera makes a big difference because of the fact that it's very easy to set up. You just plug it into your USB. It's powered by your computer. And you can either come up here later or come by the booth. But there's no mistake when you're setting the camera up because we send you a mat that has been pre-cut per camera. Scott Moore, the VP of this product, literally hand cuts every single one of these mats because he said, dang it, I've been in this industry too long, and I know what it's like when visually impaired people are calling up here and they're struggling with something and I'm not physically at their house. So I want this to be perfect when they get it out of the box, that they plug it in, that it scans perfectly, it's focused, everything's fine and perfect. So he tests every single one. He hand cuts these because the base might be slightly different between each one. So we actually match the actual mat up with each one, and we number them. So if you have a site that has three or four, you'll see a number on them, and you don't want to mix them up. You want to keep them straight. So the base goes right into the actual mat, and then there's a place where you put the document or the paper, so there's no confusion. So you can set the whole thing up in a matter of 2 minutes or less, and then get it up and running. We have two cameras. We have an A3 and an A4. I only brought the small one with me. The small one does 8.5 by 11. That's the A4 camera. The larger one shoots a whole, you can have a book, a tabloid book open, and it'll shoot both pages at the same time. We just added multilingual support, and I'll be showing you that today. The cool thing about the multilingual support is we auto-detect the language changes, and we give you all the voices. So you don't have to say, oh, I want German. Okay, that's $100. Okay, I want Spanish. That's another $100. Oh, well, I want this. We give you all the voices. It's $100 more, it's multilingual, and you have all the voices that are there. And there's like 20-some voices, and then there's male and female for each one. So you're getting like 47 different voices. Okay, so let me get that going. I'm going to go ahead and run it with Zoom Text because I realize some of you don't have the ability to see up here on the screen. That way you'll hear everything as I'm doing the menu choices. The other thing that we added was, hey, it's got to be simple. It's got to be real easy to use. We want to be able to teach somebody how to use this software in 5 minutes. And so we said, let's keep it really, really simple but effective. So we said, well, let's make it work totally 100% with keystrokes. And so it's all keyboard accessible as well. So again, you can run it with Zoom Text, or you don't have to, but I'm using it with Zoom Text so you can hear everything that I'm doing. So we're at version 1.1 with the multilingual. Some people that already have it are at version 1, but we're at 1.1. So once it loads, basically, you just need to learn three keys. You need to learn how to make it start reading, how to stop it, and how to start it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and shrink it down so you're just seeing the size of the actual image reader without the Zoom Text part. I'm just having Zoom Text speak the other part. Okay, so we're at 1X. So this is the interface. The interface can be ran with keystrokes, with a mouse, or with pull-down menus. But the cool thing about this, and we fixed this in this software, and we will be fixing it in Zoom Text 11, is there's an interface at the top where it says snap, cancel, play, auto-read. Well, we have that beautiful interface with Zoom Text, but guess what? It's not keyboard accessible. Okay, this one's totally keyboard accessible, and you can go up there and go over all of those keys, and they will read to you. So you have the ability to go to the interface and run it through the interface, just like somebody would with the mouse, by going up there with keystrokes as well. Okay, so let's say we want to take a picture of this. Great, you can use it. But it's not fair for those people that can't use the mouse to be able to not have that accessibility. So we'll never do away with the mouse, but I also think we need to have keyboard accessibility. I think it needs to be the best. We need to even the playing fields for both worlds. So I agree with you 100%. Right, WindowEyes does, but JAWS does not. Yeah, you can. You can do it. It's just a little bit. You have to pre-think it when you do the software. Okay, so I'm gonna do everything with keystroke. So it's just control space bar. Takes a picture. It's going to process the image. And then it's going to come and read it to you. So I'm just scanning something right now that's a full-page document, and it goes from left to right. So it's going to come, it's going to read it to us, and then I'm going to take that same document in columns so you can tell. Okay, so it came up, it started reading. You have the ability on the screen to change the size, to change the colors and everything with keystrokes or with the mouse. It's entirely up to you. I'm going to do it with keystrokes. So if I want to make it larger, I just hit F12. F11 makes it smaller. Now you say, well, how do I know that? Well, right now, again, because of the fact we didn't make everything self-voicing, we didn't know that people with limited or no vision at all were going to want to use this. So that's some of the things that we'll add in with the self-voicing. It would tell you 600%, 800%. You would know what size that you're going to. So you can go all the way to 800%. And then, of course, with Zoom Text, I could go up to 36 on top of the 800%, but that would make it really, really large. I'm going to start it reading again.
Include items that are designed to coordinate with the overall.
If you wanted to spell a word, you just do shift space.
Overall. O-V-E-R-A-L-L. Oscar Victor Echo Romeo Alpha Lima Lima.
So it's just the shift with the space bar. Now, you have the ability with this to have several different types of input. Of course, you have camera input. You also can do a screenshot. So I had somebody call me that was a JAWS user and said, I know JAWS has that wonderful little thing where you can do some shots of the screen and it'll come and do some OCR type capability in their product. But he was telling me that he was struggling with this one web page, and it was kind of funny because I've known him over the years. And he goes, I know we shouldn't be doing personal stuff, but it's my daughter's lunch schedule at school, and I don't want to give her money until I know what they're having at school for lunch. So could you just look at this for me? I said, yes. So I opened up the web page, and then I did a screenshot of it, pulled it into our software, and it came and read it to him. So he was just thrilled because he had access to something that he didn't have access to before. So you can do a screenshot. You can take an image. If the image has some text underneath it, and it'll just read the actual text. But you can also be an image view, so it'll come and show you the picture as well. So if you're using it for school books, and you want to scan a book in, and maybe it's got a diagram, and you have partial vision, but you need that magnified, you can look at the diagram, but if it's got a picture of a dog or a cat or whatever, it's showing maybe growth of the kitten to a cat, it's not going to come and say, oh, that's a kitten, oh, that's a cat, unless those are labeled. If they're labeled, it'll tell you that, but you can go into image view, look at it, if you have enough vision to do that, and then go out in the actual text view, and it will read the information to you as well. You can also change the screen colors by hitting F7, and it's just cycling through. We have set about 13 different screen colors that are coordinated for people that have visual impairments, and those can all be changed or made different, however the particular person wants it. Okay, where are we at with time? Okay. Let me go ahead and go into the multilingual, and then if you want me to come back and do that column, I'll be glad to do that. I just want to make sure we get to the multilingual. What was the keystroke again? To scan? Control. Whoever said control space, yay.
Snap. Cancel.
Yeah, because it goes to the next process. It starts the process. Now, this that it's scanning has four different languages.
Zoom Text Image Reader Multilingual. The new multilingual version of Image Reader automatically detects and reads languages from around the world. A complete set of premium male and female Zoom text voices are included for all languages. French.
La nouvelle version multilingue d'Image Reader détecte automatiquement et lit langues du monde entier. Un ensemble complet de primes mâles et femelles Zoom Text voix sont inclus pour toutes les langues.
German. Die neue mehrsprachige Version von Image Reader automatisch erkennt und liest Sprachen aus der ganzen Welt. Ein kompletter Satz von Premium männlichen und weiblichen Stimmen Zoom Text werden für alle Sprachen enthalten.
Norwegian. Den nye flerspråklige versjonen av Image Reader automatisk oppdager og leser språk fra hele verden. Et komplett sett av premium mannlig og kvinnelig Zoom Text Voices inkludert for alle språk.
Spanish.
La nueva versión multilingüe de Image Reader automáticamente detecta y lee los idiomas de todo el mundo. Se incluye un juego completo de la prima masculino y femenino Zoom Text Voices para todos los idiomas.
Okay. So you could see that it can run down through the voices, it auto-detects them, and then it automatically switches the languages on the fly. So it's just an added feature. You don't have to have that if you don't think it's something, but if you're working with clients that are Spanish-speaking or you have multi-lingual clients that come through, there's just a difference in $100 in the price, and you get all of those languages. We're going to add these same language packs into Zoom Text. So if somebody wants these, again, they would have to get the multilingual version of it, but basically you're going to be able to get all those voices. So this is something we're in the midst of doing right now. So we've had a lot of people really want additional voices and not want to pay, per German, per this, per that. So we just want to be able to offer the whole pack. So that's something we're working on right now. Pricing. When we first came out with the product, we said, well, it has to be easy to use. I think I've shown that. It has to be consistent. I've shown some of that. The pricing was probably the biggest complaint that we heard about the other products. So we said, okay, well, we know we have to really work on the pricing. So what we thought we would do is anybody that already owns Zoom Text, we would give them a benefit because of the fact they've been with us for years. So people that have Zoom Text already, it's $499 for the product. That's the camera, the actual mat, everything, and you can install it on up to 3 computers. So it's basically half the price of other products on the market, plus you're getting the camera. If you don't have Zoom Text, it's $749, so it's still way below the other products that are on the market. And then, of course, you're being able to install it on up to the 3 machines. If you needed the larger camera, like if you were always doing textbooks or things like that, it's $100 more. We make nothing, basically, on the cameras. Whatever they're charging us, we're just passing that on to you. Our goal was to get it on the market and to make it cost effective. And now we're starting to backfill some extra features to it to make it more feature rich. The one thing that we did was the multilingual. The 3 other things we're looking at adding in is the self-voicing that I mentioned. We're also looking at putting a basic find feature because of the fact people said, it'd be really nice to be able to jump down to the word Zoom Text or the word mother or brother or whatever it is that you scanned in. Or like, let's say it's a bill and you wanted the amount. You want to be able to jump down to that part. So we want to add that in. The other thing is, right now with PDFs, we don't have automatic PDF detection. So what you would have to do is open the PDF and you could do a screenshot because we recognize the screen. But then you'd have to do a screenshot and then do the OCR on that. So it's an extra step. So we want to make it to where it automatically recognizes PDF files. So that's something that we're adding. And then the last thing we're going to add is multiple page support. Right now we just do one page at a time. So that will all be added in the next version. I don't have an exact date and time. We wanted to get this multilingual out because our international basic countries and things where we're shipping it, we're really screaming for that. So now that we have that out, we can go back and work on some of the other features. Does anyone have questions on Image Reader? Yes, sir. Absolutely. Because everything can be done with keystrokes. So we would...
Does it work with the ZoomText 10X, or will it work with... I mean, you have to have the 10X, right? Not the 9.
You can. It'll work with 9. Here's the deal. We don't... Let's say somebody wants to purchase it. They already have ZoomText 9 or whatever they want to purchase it. We don't make you upgrade. So it's still going to talk with it. So the pull-down menus, everything's still going to talk. But we built in some special tracking that actually will track, and there's some really cool things you can do, and we didn't build that in until version 10. So that's the only thing that she wouldn't have. Windows 8, yes, sir. 5 megapixel.
How does it compare to the size of the Pearl or the iPad? Does it fold, collapse?
It folds
portable?
And collapses, yes. And if you want to come grab it, sir, and hand it to him, he can check it out.
Zoom text image reader, the camera currently being used by Image Reader has been unplugged or is... Sir?
It's mad at me. So it's very lightweight. That's the small camera. The bigger one, that's the A3 that does full tabloid, it's quite a bit taller. It does not telescope in. A lot of people think the bigger one telescopes in. The reason it doesn't telescope in, we tested hundreds of cameras, and the ones that telescoped in, guess what? One day they read this way, the next day they read, because it never was quite up exactly, and the little button that you push in would get loose, they would break, then the camera would start telescoping down. I mean, we had all kinds of problems with them. So we went with a manufacturer on purpose that did not have the telescoping cameras for the bigger ones.
How does this compare to OpenBook?
The biggest difference between this product and OpenBook is OpenBook has a whole bunch more you can do with it. With OpenBook, I believe you can spell check. I didn't say that. With OpenBook, you can spell check, I think, and put book notes, end notes, all that other stuff. We don't have all that built in. We have all the basics. It does a great scan. It's very easy to set up. It's very easy to use. But we don't have all of the other features. We basically, you can scan, you can read, you can save it out as a Word file, you can save it out as an Excel file or a PowerPoint file, all those basic things. But we don't have all the other fancy-dancy, we don't stand on our head and do all those other things. We do all the other things we do extremely well. The few features we add in, we want to add in very key features. I don't want to start adding in so much, then it becomes the problem of what people were complaining about, is there's too much in there. Right, and we don't want it complicated. Basically, you can scan, you can read, you can make it scan and read automatically, you can change it to image view, you can change it to text view, you can change the margins, and then everything can be done with keystrokes, mouse strokes, or pull-down menus. Any other questions? I believe, I don't know, I'd have to look and see if Chinese is one of the new languages they've added. I've only put 5 other languages on my computer, so I don't know. Yeah, there's 23 different languages, and then each of them have a male and female voice, so it's 46 total voices. But I don't remember if Chinese is one of them. But if you come by the booth and ask me that question or email me, I will be glad to find out for you, because I honestly don't know. Yes, Ron.
Those foreign languages you demoed clear, except for the Spanish. I found that difficult to follow.
Oh, okay. There's several different Spanish languages. You can pick male and female. Then there's also grandma and grandpa. There's also different dialects of the Spanish. So, maybe we need to pick a better dialect for you. And, sir, I believe you had a question over here.
When you do the Word documents, does it, like, make headings, and...
It brings it over how the document is.
So you could navigate it intelligently if you...
Oh, had. Absolutely.
Okay.
But we don't... Within our software, we don't spell check and do all that, so you'd have to take it out to Word, and, you know, if you needed to do different word processing to it, you would need to take
it
into the
Word
environment.
But you know the difference between a table and a... And
yes. A, yes. Okay. Great. Very good question. Any other questions? I don't think I have time to show ZoomText for Mac. The Mac product, basically, we have all the magnification features. The difference between our magnification and the zoom that's built into the Mac is, again, pixelation. So it's much clearer. We don't use XFont technology in the Mac. We actually redraw the screen. So when you go from 2X to 3X to 4X, we're redrawing the screen every time. So if you have a graphic or something that's on the screen that's kind of fuzzy, the bigger you make it, the clearer it gets, because we continue to redraw that screen in the Windows environment. We are now adding some speech features built in. We have a feature called Web Reader. It allows you to go on a link and pull it into the Web Reader, and it's going to read you the information that's on that particular URL. You can also block and copy emails. I'm going to cough, so just one second. Okay, I think. So you can block and copy emails. You can put text in there. So basically, it's kind of like our app reader, doc reader type thing that you're familiar with on the Windows side. We also are starting to add some built-in speech things themselves, like focus echo, mouse echo. Eventually, we'll have typing echo. We are not going to replace VoiceOver. There's no reason to. VoiceOver's great. We're not trying to be in competition with them. Right now, we work with VoiceOver. So if someone's using our Mac product and they don't have our speech stuff, because right now it's not out on the market for public use yet, you can use it right with VoiceOver. We track and we follow, and it works just fine. So I will let you know that once our speech features are fully implemented, the price of the product will go up $100. Anybody that already has the other Mac product, we will give you the speech features for free. So once we add them in, anybody that already has the other product, we're saying thank you very much for buying it when it first came out. Now we're giving the speech for free. But the price will go up $100 for the product. It's supposed to be shipping the end of April. So not that I'm saying run out and buy it, but if you were thinking of buying it, it's $100 cheaper now, buy it and you'll get the speech for free. Those of you that have ZoomText, we already give you a discount on the product. That particular product will go up $50, not $100, but $50. I have catalogs, but I didn't bring enough for everybody, but they're at the booth. So you can go by Sterling's booth. They've got demos. They have everything. I've got cards. If you want one of my cards, you can let me know. But I don't want to take too much time because the next presentation is about ready to start. So if you have any other questions, again, I'm Kimberly Klein. Feel free to come by the booth tomorrow. Or I'm going to stay through their presentation, so I'll still be here as well. If you need to get a hold of me, you can either call me on my cell phone. I can't believe I'm doing this, but it is 702-449-4890. You can call me or text me. Or you can email me at kcline, it's C-L-I-N-E, at AISquared.com. If you have any other questions on anything, please feel free to come by and see me. If you go by the booth, I'll try to see Steve tonight. Or not Steve, Steve's right here. Mark tonight, but if I don't see Mark tonight, tell him that I'm running a special, that you need to sign up, and he's going to do a drawing at the end of the show, and I'm going to give away a free spot in the class. Okay, thank you.
Let's see. Ryan? Hello, hello, hello. I'm coming. I am coming. Kimberly? Thank you very much. And folks, yes. Yes. Okay. Folks, please, if you could, wait till you get a mic if you want to ask a question, because we want to capture those questions, because you don't realize how important your questions are. The old adage says there's no such thing as a stupid question is true. Because what some of you have asked are things that I've taken for granted. And I'm certified with ZoomText, and I do use Image Reader and the other products. And it's good to see a good product that it keeps on getting better and better. And if you have any questions, I also have my Mac. I can also show you my ZoomText for Mac. And I have Image Reader for on the Windows side of my Mac. And I do demonstrate it, and I do show it. But stop by the booth at Sterling Adaptive. And if Kimberly's there or the folks there, they will show you themselves. So once again, Kimberly, thank you very much. Well, it's great. Now, our next presenters are going to be covering a topic that is long overdue for accessibility, and that is QuickBooks and QuickBooks tools that we may need. I remember when I was tortured and had to work with finance in a company I worked for, and QuickIn and QuickBooks and all that stuff was a nightmare. Thank goodness for TSI's Opticon, because I used that sucker to get around, and it was tedious. Unfortunately, it was old technology, but guess what? So is my Slate and Stylus, and still works. So, anyway, before I be quiet, I want to tell you guys something. This is something that is going to revolutionize business for the visually impaired, because for the first time, you'll be able to work in a business setting or run a business and oversee the operation of a business alongside your peers. And you're not going to have somebody be your reader. You'll be able to use your accessibility resources to make it work for you and take control of your business. So I'm very grateful. Grateful to see this happen. So now I will turn it over to, let's see, who's here? Is Albert here?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Okay, I guess, okay, the boss man has spoken, and he says that
Hello.
Steve is going to speak first.
Hi, everybody.
This is Steve Clark. It's really nerve-wracking to see so many people out there whose bedrooms I've been in.
Oh, shame on you.
Oh, so.
On that note, I will shut down.
So those of you that know me up here in Northern California, I'm a partner in Adaptive Technology Services along with Savannah Rainey and Chrissy Dodds, and I probably have set up or delivered or fixed your computers at some point up here if you've got a computer in Northern California. So it's fun to see a lot of you there. The QuickBooks project is something that I kind of fell into about a year or so ago, and I wanted to introduce the team, some of the team that we've been working with. There are a lot of the people about half our team is actually here tonight. The first person I'd like to introduce is going to talk for a few minutes is Albert Rizzi. He's the guy who got a hold of QuickBooks and got them to listen to us, which is the first time that's happened in 25 years, I think. We've been trying to get them to do stuff, so he's going to talk for a little while. And then we also have Vita Zavali up here. She's going to give us a demonstration. She's been helping us develop some training materials and getting some stuff going. Before that, I'm going to speak a little bit about some of the technical stuff that we've run into and talk a bit about why QuickBooks has been a mess and what we're trying to do to make it better and what you can expect for now and what you can expect in the next year or so. We also have Ted Drake here from Intuit himself. He's the senior accessibility software engineer for them. He's been part of our project, and he can help address any kind of questions that come up that should be into it talking to you instead of me and Albert. So let me turn it over to Albert for just a second and for a few minutes have him tell us a little bit about what got this going.
Thank you, everybody. Well, you all have yourselves to thank, quite honestly, because when I became a member of the ACB, I was involved as a director on one of the affiliates, and I saw a need for an accounting program that I was very comfortable using and that I had used in my business life and in other nonprofit positions I held. So when I found out that this was not something that was readily accessible or available to the community, I made a phone call. It was that simple. What was different this time is there was somebody on the other end who actually got what we were talking about. We spoke about a broad spectrum of people called the print disabled. Now, I've heard some of you talking to Kim tonight about, yes, but what about the blind, low vision this, low vision that, blind? We need to start looking at, and we started looking at with my blind spot, at a collective community, a universal approach to accessibility that impacted millions of people, and not just some arbitrary group that we still don't know exactly what number we are counted at. The last census came out told us we were basically 25 million severely visually impaired people, and that's a term that I like to use because I think it encompasses all of us, not just some of us. So phone call was made. Laurie Samuels, who works with TED, was on the other end. Laurie happened to have a sister who was print disabled, and it clicked. So we went to work trying to figure out how to partner together. The supports we needed, executive buy-in and sponsorship was discussed, and initially we started working with John Martin, who is a scripter, and started trying to script a solution. And if anybody out there knows one thing, we all know that scripting is not a solution, right? So as we tried to stumble through this effort, because Intuit had not been in a place to understand and appreciate accessibility, we stopped and we thought. And at one point, I don't know if she's in this room right now, and I hope this doesn't make everybody all cringe because she's as polarizing as I am. Margie Donovan? So you do know her. Margie and I had gotten into a pissing match over some argument about this, that, or the other. Yeah, Margie, go surprise. And I started telling her what we were doing and what I dreamt of and what John's aspirations were about QuickBooks. And thankfully, she said, the only people you should be working with is ATS and Steve Clark. So I think it was New Year's. Stephen and Silvana were in the city. We sat down to table. We had New York City. Oh, I'm sorry.
City is San Francisco.
Yeah. I'm from the East Coast. Yeah, so my city, New York City. We met for breakfast. What I thought was going to be a half an hour conversation where I was not sure how it was going to turned out to be like a 3-hour breakfast. And on a handshake, Silvana and Stephen and I went to work before there was a contract, before there was anything else. And I really, really need to take my hat off, and we all need to take our hats off to the impact and the difference that Stephen's participation in this project made. So once we had Stephen on board, and Laurie brought in Ted Drake, and the engineers in India, headed up by Cheryl Aranha, the project really only started. I get sick about this. We only really started working on reformatting and reprogramming the 20-year-old or 25-year-old legacy, Ted, 25? Okay. Legacy that 4 million people or 5 million people were using globally, which is a concern to any corporation about upsetting their consumer base. We only started that in May of last year. We came in very late in the cycle. And the level of functionality we brought into the product, I think, is remarkable. It's not been done before, and it has been a true team effort. I always hear people say there's no I in team. As a kid, I couldn't understand why they were stating the obvious. But today, team to me means together, everyone achieves more. And that has never been more true today. It's together, everyone achieves more. Eventually, we wound up looking into other avenues. My blind spot is committed to hiring and making sure we have 90% of our staff be disabled. I have, very proud to say, we've got 7 people from the community working for us. We have ACB members and NFB members. Gotta let them in. And we have other people with other life challenges. So everybody's 1 degree of separation from understanding the need for access. And we recently really started taking off with the tools that we're going to need to give to you all as we perfect the fine-tuning of the program, what works now and what's going to be focused on going forward when we invited Vita Zavoli and Richard Kelly to the fold. It's just such a remarkable honor to be able to make this difference after having lost my eyesight 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago, very unexpectedly, never having this on my radar, and taking the time to help open doors for people. And again, nothing could have happened without the team and our leader, Steve Clark. So I'm going to give it back to him.
Thank you. Okay, how many people out here have tried to use QuickBooks? Two?
Really?
Okay. How many people? Okay, very, very few number. Okay. How many people want to use QuickBooks? Okay. Okay. How many of you are confusing QuickBooks with Quicken? Yeah. So this is one thing I want to be clear about when we start is that there are two really flagship products that you hear about from Intuit. One's Quicken. And one is QuickBooks. And Quicken is designed as a kind of a home check register, balance your checkbook, monthly expenses kind of thing, get a budget going for your home. And there are certainly issues with Quicken, and there are a whole bunch of discussion that go on around that. But tonight we're focusing on QuickBooks, which is their small business accounting package. I've been a QuickBooks user since 1997. And in all that time, since 1997, my business partners have been visually impaired, and I get the phone call that says, hey, can you tell me what our receivables are? can you tell me how many training hours we did last month? And I would really like them to be able to do that. So this has been a very good project for me to offload some of my work at work. You know, we started out with this. You guys that were using QuickBooks, what's the version you ended up using? Does anybody know what version? QuickBooks 11, 12. You know, if you were using QuickBooks 2012, that was the last time you could really use it. QuickBooks 2013 and 2014, you know, QuickBooks 2012 wasn't great. You could move around and you could do some things, but you had to work hard at it. QuickBooks 2013 took all that little bit that you could do and broke the rest of it. So it went down. It really got, you know, kind of bad from there. There wasn't much you could do with that. So one of the things we started doing in the project was we sat down and we said, what's wrong with QuickBooks? And we identified really quickly 5 or 10 things that needed to be fixed, and we started working with them. So every week, right now, we're still doing this. We have a meeting with Albert, who's in New York, me in San Mateo. Actually, the Ted and Lori, who are the Intuit people, actually happen to be in the Redwood City area, so they're close by. That's been really nice. And then our main developer person that we work with is Cheryl in India, and we have another testing person in India. And then John Martin, who's doing the JAWS scripts for this, is in Arizona. So this has been turned into a really global project. Cheryl's time zone is 12 and a half hours off of ours. So at 8 o'clock in the morning while I'm talking to her, it's 8:30 at night, and she's really tired and wants to go to bed. So, but it's been a really good experience with that group. We set up some very specific project goals, and we're trying very hard to get that message out to people. The version of QuickBooks that's out right now, version 2014, shipped in September. They froze their code in July. That was the last time we could really make dramatic changes to the code. We started working with them in April. So we had April, May, and June to try to implement changes this year. And in those 3 months, we got some really big changes made. And then since then, we've been fixing things as we go along. Right now, if you go buy QuickBooks 2014 off the shelf, install it on your computer, make sure you download the most recent service pack because they do releases every few months with bug fixes and stuff like that. And the last fix that's out there is R5, has the most accessible stuff in it. And run it with a set of scripts from JAWS that you can get from Albert's organization, My Blind Spot. You can start using it.
I'm just going to interject here because now this is self-serving to me. We're also going to be able to sell that program for you online so that way I can project. So while Steve's right, you can go out there and buy it off the shelf.
if you wait a little while longer, we can bundle everything together, and it's all going to be shipped to you in one way.
Yeah, My Blind Spot is putting together a package where you can buy QuickBooks and get the scripts and some training materials that go along with that. QuickBooks is not something you just sit down and do. I have no accounting background, so I will say it's something that you can do as a non-accountant, but you do have to devote some effort to knowing kind of what you want to do. This week and last week, I'm actually cleaning up my books because we have to file our tax returns, and I'm finding out all the things I didn't really thought I knew that I didn't, and I'm going back through and fixing all that stuff. But our project goals were to create something. We started out modest. We just wanted you to be able to create an invoice, create a sales receipt for something you want to sell, write a check, and then receive that check for the invoice, receive and deposit the check. That's 90% of what you need to do in your business. Tell somebody they owe you money and get them to pay you that money. And we just said, that's what we're going to do. We looked at those screens and we started out. And we got those screens working really, really well. And then we found out that when we did that, it spread out. And a bunch of other areas in QuickBooks started working because of the work we did to just make those few screens work. But like Albert mentioned, QuickBooks is 25 years old. There was I found out we were at CSUN last week, and Cheryl, the woman from India who was doing the developing, said, "Oh yeah, they freaked out when we went in and said we wanted to change code that they hadn't changed in 25 years, because they said, what's that going to do? What are you going to break? What's going to happen to that 4 million users out there if we do this?" And we were able to convince them that we could make those changes, that they wouldn't affect their regular users, the mainstream users, and that we could make this work. And they said, okay, so they made the changes. That's all that's kind of rolling out into what we're able to show you guys. We chose JAWS as our first that's the first package because JAWS has that market share. So we've really put an effort into some good JAWS scripts. We've been working on that the longest. We were quite taken by surprise by the WindowWise announcement. Have you all heard that you can, if you have Office 2010 or 2013 on your computer, you can download a free copy of WindowWise for your computer. If you don't know that, come talk to us about it tomorrow in our booth, or ask people around that. But that's WindowWise is doing that, and so that means that we felt like the WindowWise market certainly would be expanding because it's available now to more people. So we've merged them into our development process. They're working right now on a set of scripts for WindowWise to give you the same functionality that we're putting in the JAWS scripts. And then also the NVDA. How many people know about NVDA? Yeah. So NVDA also is working with us. We're giving them information, and they're creating a module that you'll be able to install into NVDA that will also give you access to QuickBooks. Now, we're not giving you 100% access to QuickBooks. There is so many layers of things that are built into QuickBooks, and there's actually there are four versions of QuickBooks. There's QuickBooks Pro, QuickBooks Premier, QuickBooks Accountant version, and QuickBooks Enterprise. Each one of those adds more and more screens and functionality. And then within those, there's the nonprofit version. There's the service-oriented company. There's the product-oriented company. There's just tons of stuff out there. So what we've done, again, is we've said we've focused on where most people want to work with it, tried to meet as broad a base as we can where things have gone out there. But there are things that aren't going to work. One of the things that I'm saying to people is if you are a QuickBooks user and you're successful at whatever level you are right now and it's your mission critical, we have one of our beta testers, it's what he does is run the books for their family businesses, is don't switch until you know you can keep doing what you've always been doing, because the change between QuickBooks 2012 and QuickBooks 2014 is fairly dramatic, and there are workflows that were kind of accessible in 2012 that we have not been able to make accessible in 2014. So if you're already a QuickBooks user, approach it cautiously. You can certainly talk to me here if you want to. I'll have a booth here tomorrow.
Well, I can also reach out. We can get
We'll make contact information available to you. If you're a new QuickBooks user, go into it with some confidence. If you need to use QuickBooks, you can do most of what you need to do to run your business. There's one of the things that we looked at is my business. My business is selling training and tech support and doing scripting and all this kind of stuff. And I've run a product-based business. With a lot of you might know me from accessibility up until 2002. I know what I needed to do to run my business, and we said, let's make it so that I could run my business, because that's very similar to what everybody else is doing out there. So certainly feel confident that you can do most of what you need to do to run a business in the versions, the latest in QuickBooks 2014. Right now, the next steps for the product are where we're finding problems. We're finishing up our JAWS beta testing, the WindowEyes beta testing, and NVDA beta testing are happening. And we've got a core group of people who are both new users for QuickBooks and experienced users. They're giving us a lot of feedback. That feedback is going out to the screen reader manufacturers. Sorry, take that back. It's going out to GW Micro and NVDA. It's coming to me for JAWS. Freedom Scientific has been supportive, but they are not doing the scripts. They won't come from Freedom Scientific. They come from us, and we're feeding back out into there. So when we see bugs that the screen readers can address, they address them. When we see bugs that need to be addressed by Intuit, we add those to our list. We're not stopping with this version. We're hoping that in QuickBooks 2015, we're going to hit the next big set of problem areas so that we can expand that usability more. And this is a multi-year project for us. We have very short time frames to work in based on the way that Intuit's business model is. You know, they ship in September. They have tax season in April. We got to work around their coding that they do between those two points. But we will see better and better accessibility as we go on. But it's a good start right now. So to show you how good of a start we've made, what we have, Vita's come here. She's got a computer with I don't even think she has our latest version. Did you say you're using R4, not R5? She doesn't have even the latest version on, but she's going to give you a brief little demo of some of the stuff we can do in QuickBooks so you can hear how it's moving around. If you've used QuickBooks before, you'll know that if you hit the tab key, you would hear nothing but the highlighted text on the screen. You would never hear what field you were in. If you tried to go into the menus with 2013 or 2014, you would... Yep. That's two bullets down. Yep. So she's only got four more, and I don't think anybody got hit by those. So she's going to walk us through a few things. The menus wouldn't work in 2012 and 13. You couldn't do any focus tracking with highlight bars that move through the screen. So Vita's just going to walk us through a handful of things, and then we'll stop and take some questions. Okay.
No, it's fine. I think the other one's on. The standing mic?
Wasn't.
Yeah, they gave
it. Is this mic on?
Yeah.
Okay, now it's on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Let me put it back on. Okay, there you go.
There we go. Good evening, everyone. It's been a long day. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to show you just a few things that you would do on an ordinary basis. I'm going to create an account and then create some sub-accounts, and then I'm going to write a check, which is something you might, you know, on a day-to-day basis, you might very easily do. We're starting out in QuickBooks with what's called the chart of accounts, and the chart of accounts has the list of accounts that you create, such as your bank accounts, your checking account, your savings account, your petty cash account. And then you can create accounts and call them anything you like. You might have media, telecommunications, you might have electricity, you can have all kinds, whatever you want to call your account. So I'm going to start an account and call it telecommunications. I'm going to create two sub-accounts underneath it. One is going to be called telephone, and the other one's going to be called internet. And then I'm going to write a check to AT&T I just picked that out of nowhere. Don't, you know. I'm going to write a check to AT&T, and AT&T is going to get one amount from me. But in the check that I'm writing, I'm going to be able to put the telephone and internet separate so that QuickBooks logs those separately. But AT&T simply gets one check from me. So then, later, when I want to, at the end of the year, I want to see how much money I spent on telephone, I can simply get that one report, hand it to the accountant, and that's all done. So this, the power of QuickBooks, truthfully, is your reports. It's you can get, at the end of the year, you can get tons and tons of reports on every, on all kinds of different things, how much you spent, how much you didn't spend, how much you'd like to spend, you know. That's my favorite. Okay, so let's start with creating an account.
1030.
Wow, that's loud. Okay. Yeah, okay. They'll adjust as we go on.
10100.checkingbank46409.
Okay, so this is just telling me this is in the chart of accounts. It's where we first come to. And this is the checking account. Now, this is not my real checking account, so don't write down the number. It's not going to do you any good. All right? And I really, that's a lot of money in there.
It's Albert's checking account.
Well, then we might want to consider writing an invoice. Okay. All right, so I'm going to create a new account, and the current screen, we have menus across the top, the way you're normally used to seeing. You use the Alt key and then right arrow through your menus. Most people are familiar with that. And then there's a list. The accounts are in a list format. And then on the bottom of the screen, there's also buttons. And we can tab to those. So the Alt key will take you through the menu with the right arrow and left arrow. Up and down arrow will take us through the list, and the tab key will take us through the buttons. So the first one I'm going to do to set up a new account is new. So I need to get to the new button, or most of these buttons have quick keys, which my favorite. So it's Control N, but I do want to show you that this works, so we're not just talking. So I'm going to tab.
Activities button to activate, press space bar. Reports button to activate, press space bar. Attach button to activate, press space bar. Include inactive checkbox not checked. Account button to activate, press space bar.
Okay, so nice and very simple, the way you're used to hearing the screen. I'm going
to change
new.
The selection, press up or down arrow. Okay. Add new income radio button not checked, 1 of 8.
Okay, so now I'm in the new account window.
Add new account window.
Okay, I just read the title bar, and the first thing I need to do in this window is choose what type of account am I creating. Is it an income account? Is this money that's going to come into our organization? Or is it an expense account, money that's going to go out? Or is it a bank account that we're setting up? So in this case, since we're doing telecommunications and we're going to write checks to AT&T and other such companies, what would you think, what type of account would you think that would be? Expense. Great. See? And you think you couldn't do numbers. You can do numbers. Not that difficult. Okay.
Expense radio button not checked, 2 of 8.
And I checked it with the space bar.
Expense radio button checked, 2 of 8.
Okay, now that's checked. And now I could tab through this, but there's a lot of items here. It's not necessary to tab. I'm going to do Alt-T for continue.
Add new account. Account type, expense number. Account type or number.
Account type or number. Now, this is something you could choose to have or not. This is for your personal way of categorizing. We're going to skip this. We don't need an account type or number.
Account name. Edit. Alt plus M to set the value. Use the arrow keys or type the value.
That's JAWS giving you all the information you really want. Okay, here we're going to give it a name. We're going to call it telecommunications. Oops, did I spell it right?
S-J. Oh.
No, I didn't. O-N-N. Okay.
Account name, telecommunications, edit, Alt plus M.
There we go. I actually spelled it right. All right, tabbing.
Sub-account of checkbox not checked. The check press space bar.
Okay, sub-account of. We're not up to that yet. And that's all I really have to do on this screen is give it a name. There's a lot of elements here I can tab through.
Description, multi-line edit, alt
I can
plus
give
D.
it a description. I can say whether or not it's a bank account and so forth. But we're not going to worry about that. And on most screens, you will have a button called Save and Close, and that's quickly activated with Alt-A.
Chart of accounts, window, account button, telecommunications, expense, chart.
So that's nice. It told me I was back. I went back to the chart of accounts window and highlighted telecommunications. And just quickly, I'm going to create two sub-accounts here. It's similar. You do Control-N
for new.
Add new
account. Choose account. Income.
This is going to be expense.
Expense rate.
Continue.
Add new account. Account type expense. Account name. Edit. Alt plus
All
M.
Right.
To set the
and
value.
We're going
to
call
arrow.
It. Quiet. Phone.
Sub-account of checkbox not checked.
Now, this
check
time, sub-account
bar.
Of, we need to check this box. And
sub-account of edit combo alt plus s press
now,
alt down.
So this is an edit combo. I'm sorry, I should have let it read completely. It does tell you that you can press the alt down arrow to go through the list.
Drop down active at communications internet communications
so, or you
internet.
Can type the first letter of the item you're searching for.
Telecommunications.
There we go. We got telecommunications. Nice and simple.
Telecommunications, description, multi...
Okay, and again, there's a long number of items in here. So I'm going to save and close.
Chart of
Alt-A.
Accounts, window, account button to activate.
Okay. And I'm going to do the next one real quick.
Add new account, choose a... Okay. Income, expense. Add new account, account name, edit, alt plus M.
Internet.
Sub-account of checkbox not...
Sub-account of?
Sub-account of. Edit combo.
And what is this a sub-account of? All right.
They're all awake.
There you go. They're awake. There are. I might
Drop
not be awake, but they are awake.
Telecommunications. Telecommunications. Description.
Okay. And save and close.
Chart of accounts. What? Window. Account.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to write a check to AT&T.
64500.
Oh, okay. Should I write to somebody else?
Telecommunications.
I heard a lot of. All right. No, let's not. Let's not go there. Yeah.
Peter, you can write it to me. Yes. Stephen Clark.
I think we'll continue with our demo. To write a check, we use Control W.
Window, bank account, 101.
Again, there's a lot of shortcut keys like that. To write an invoice, it's Control I. To get to the banking menu, it's Alt B. They've worked really hard on putting shortcut keys into the program, which, of course, for us is so wonderful. I think actually we can get along quicker than your average mouse user in the program, right? Yeah. That's right.
Bank account 10100.
Okay.
Dot check.
So in the checking, writing in the right checking, that's what window it says.
Right checks window.
Thank you. It says the right checks window. I got it right. The first item is what bank account are you going to draw this check from? And I believe checking is highlighted.
Bank account
here.
10100. Dot checking. Edit combo. Alt yes. Plus K. Press Alt down arrow to access combo list.
Okay. And we're going to tab.
No, 493, edit.
Now, it says this is number 493, so it automatically tells you what the next check number is.
Date, 12/15/2018, date edit.
All right, it's a little bit in the future, but we don't want to send them a check today anyway. Pay them in 5 years from now, 4 years from now, right? Okay, and tab.
Pay to the order of edit combo. Press Alt down arrow to access combo list.
And here again, you can access a list, or you can put it. You can put in a new one. And if you just begin typing, it assumes you're putting.
Assume
in a,
limited
oops.
Vendor.
Oh no, no, I didn't do that.
Yeah, assumes limited.
Yeah, right. And let's see.
Quick add button. Name not found. Autumn T is not in the name list. To automatically add Autumn T to the name list, click Quick Add. You can enter.
There you go.
Automatically found
that right.
You're trying to create a new company. It's
right.
It's ridiculous.
It's, so it said quick add, so I'm going to do that.
Select name type, select which type of name to add, then click OK. Vendor radio button check 1 to 4.
Okay, vendor, that's correct. Oh, is it checked?
Vendor radio button check 1 to 4.
Yes.
Customer radio button not checked.
No, we're not
Employee
going.
Radio, other radio button not checked. Okay button.
Okay.
Right checks. Windows. Address. Autumn T.
All right. And then the rest of this, we can put in their address.
Class. Edit combo. Press alt down there.
Class. Again, a class is a category you can create.
Memo. Edit. Type
a memo.
Text. Account. Edit combo.
Account.
Press alt down there.
So now, in this account, we should be able to go to telecommunications.
Telecommunications expense.
All right, because we wanted to get under the telecommunication expense account.
Telecommunications amount, edit, type and text.
Okay, amount. So we're writing to AT&T. I may have
account,
missed.
Account, select memo, edit, class, edit, cop, address, autumn, check amount, 0.0.
Yeah, I did miss the check amount, duh. Okay, well. Well, it's 2018. I have time to think about it, right?
Well, how'd you pay them?
All right. So let's give them $125. I'm sorry, I know. But telephone and internet, that's about what it costs these days at least, right?
Address, autumn T, class, edit combo, press alt down arrow, memo, edit, type and text.
Okay.
Account, telecommunications, edit combo, press alt down amount, 125.00, edit,
all right.
Type and text.
So in this amount, actually,
account,
telecommunications, we're going to choose telephone. Did I find telephone?
Account, edit combo, telecommunication.
Oh, sorry, it was telecommunication, okay.
Setup button, account not found, TT is...
What are you talking? Oh,
cancel
that's my fault. My fault.
Setup button.
My
cancel
fault.
Button to activate. Cancel button.
Hey, don't we all make mistakes, right?
Right checks. Window. Account. Setup button. Account.
Oh, stop. That is not true. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Wait
cancel
a second.
Button to activate. Press right checks. Window. Account. Setup button. Account. Not. Cancel button.
Yeah, you're on a second one also.
Okay, let me go up. Yeah.
Right
cancel?
Checks, window, account, TT, edit,
right?
Combo,
blank. Okay, are we out?
Account, edit, combo, press alt down arrow to access combo list.
Okay, I'm much happier now.
Telecommunications.
Okay, but it did do it.
Amount, edit, type
all
and
right.
Text.
So it's $125 is the total, and I'm not going to go through all the screens here. However, I can say I want to pay $45 to telephone, and I want to pay the remainder to internet. So when I print this check, and by the way, you can either print this check or simply save it, because you might want to send it out later, or you're simply using this procedure to save your expenses. So there are columns here, and I can say I want $45 to go to there, and then I want the remainder to go to internet, and then later. When I want to, 6 months from now, I'm going to see how much
memo,
I spent
edit,
on internet. I can just call up a report and simply find out how much I spent only on internet, only on telephone, only on electricity, whichever what I want to do. So it is a very, very powerful program. Just to go through one screen would easily take me 5 to 10 minutes to explain. There's a lot of information on a screen. It's quite powerful, and I encourage you, if you haven't had an opportunity to look at QuickBooks, definitely take the time. Even for a small business like myself, I do consulting. I need to keep tax records. It's very important, and so I can give all that information to an accountant at the end of the year. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Vita.
So, I have a booth here. I have no idea where it's going to be. I think we pick them in the morning. It's here in the hotel. I think I have to get up at 6 o'clock and go down and say, oh, I'd like that table right there. But I have a computer there with QuickBooks on it. If anybody wants to come by and take a look at that, I'll be in our booth all day tomorrow and for the exhibit time and Saturday morning. So you're welcome to come by and play around with it. We do have it working there, so you can play around with stuff. We found it, you know, what Vita showed you tonight is just a tiny little bit of what you can do with that. But you saw, I think, as she's moving around on the screen, it was giving you all the feedback you needed to know. If you were a previous QuickBooks user, that would have not been there. There's some features that we've added to the scripts to try to make them work better. One of the things that we've put into the scripts is the ability to You can with QuickBooks, you can create a custom template and make a layout for your own invoice the way the invoice wants to look, so, and you can change the information that shows up on that screen. But it, once you do that, the screen reader doesn't know that happened anymore. So the scripts for JAWS, and at this point I'm only going to speak about what we've done with JAWS. It's going to be up to GW Micro and MVDA to add other features there that, that I don't mention tonight. But one of the things that we've put in there is the ability to label your own fields. So as you're moving around the screen and you land in a screen that you've created a custom template, or you've landed in a screen that we missed, that we didn't catch in our testing, you can hit the Insert Control Tab keystroke with JAWS and give it a label, and from then on, QuickBooks will remember that label, so that screen starts to become a little more accessible to you. Also, for screens that have some complicated layouts, we've created a manual navigation mode that lets you move around the screen by objects instead of using the JAWS cursor mode. What happens with the JAWS cursor mode is you can only move up and down the screen by lines and characters and words as you move around. But sometimes the words you need to know might be above or to the left of where you want to be. And so we've created this manual navigation mode that lets you move through the screen by objects. So it moves from a really good example is if you have a blank edit field on the screen, the JAWS cursor would just skip right over it. It wouldn't know that it was there, but the manual navigation mode knows there's a blank field there and stops and gives you some information, says you're on an edit box, and from there you can move up or move to the left to find out what's in that edit box. The JAWS cursor mode doesn't do that. So there's some other features in there that we've added to kind of improve and make the QuickBooks experience a little bit easier or a little bit quicker for you to enter your information and move around on the screens. Anybody have any questions? Let me run out with the microphone and Frank, you're second.
Yes.
You go, Gail.
Okay. I had is it on?
Yep.
Okay, good. I can't tell.
Hold it a little closer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, a sec. Oh. Okay. It's just a quick, easy question. In the last screen that we saw, you had a field that gave you a place to write notes. Memo field, okay? Does that have a certain amount of characters that you're allowed?
I have no idea.
Okay, okay. Well, and the reason I ask, because I love accounting, even though I've never worked extensively in that particular field, but it seems like that would be an area where you'd want a certain number of fields or a certain amount limited, but on the other hand, that you'd want it to be a lot in some cases as well. So, or some place where you could at least refer it to something else, because you either want really something that's really short, or you want something that's really long. So, I was just kind of curious as to what you had looked at in that field. So,
it's
a little comment.
It's a multi-edit text field, so theoretically, most people are only going to put a few lines in there. Theoretically, though, when you're building a database, you're either going to put a small amount or you're going to put a huge amount, and I'm sure they have it set up so it can take a huge amount. Probably 20,000 characters is what it could handle, but most people are going to be leaving it like, you know, a couple lines.
Can I say one other thing also? It remembers your memos. So if you write, thank you, 18T, for blah, 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 and you write, and next time you come here, you just write two words, it'll come up. It memorizes.
There's a mic coming, Frank.
Where's Frank?
Straight back.
Oh, there's Frank.
No softballs.
Very good demo, Vita. By the way, so I'm wondering, to what extent have you heard that the fixes that you're getting into it to put into QuickBooks might be cascading over into Quicken?
Another question for Intuit.
So my name is Ted Drake, and I manage accessibility across Intuit. I joined Intuit 2 years ago. Before that, it was with the Yahoo Accessibility Lab. You might have heard something about that. I worked with Victor Sarin and Todd Klutz and Alan Brightman. And Lori Samuels had the position before me. She set up the accessibility team at Intuit. And she's the one that started working with Albert, and she has been managing the QuickBooks. Now, the QuickBooks was a very, it was like a perfect storm everything came together perfectly. It was really amazing. DeQ also was able, they had like an engineer in India that could start within a week. Everything really just snapped into place with QuickBooks, and I'd love to say it's going to happen with Quicken. However, we are taking what we learned from this project, and we are applying that right now to Quicken. There was a problem introduced in Quicken 2014 that broke keyboard accessibility. We did realize that, but it was too late. So DeQ is actually right now doing a full evaluation of Quicken. The engineer that worked with QuickBooks is working on that project with the Quicken team, Sujashri. The team is committed. It's hard for me to say that we're going to have the same – I don't think we're going to have the same impact as QuickBooks, because it was just like – it was an amazing situation that happened with QuickBooks. But we are working on Quicken. No, they're not common. They're completely different programs. And also the thing to remember is Quicken and QuickBooks were – the core code was built before Microsoft Accessibility.
Before
the API. This is code that is so old that everything was custom drawn and everything. And so it's been very difficult to actually make some of these changes. However, Quicken is in the middle of an upgrade to .NET and so I think that we are going to see some. I wish I could make big promises. I do expect us to have the main keyboard issue fixed by the time they release Quicken 2015. But it is certainly something. And in the 2 years I've been there, I have evaluated every single Intuit product. I've met with just about every single team in Intuit. My evaluations are quite in depth. I do classes. I've visited all over the world meeting with our team. So it's not just QuickBooks and Quicken. We've been working with TurboTax and the online tax accountants, Canada, Mint. Mint has a problem that we're trying to fix right now. It's an ever-going thing. And I'm seeing a lot of progress. I'm seeing occasional things going backwards. You know, it's always two steps forward, one backwards as people are implementing new functionality. But that's what's going on with Quicken right now.
Well, one of the things that I'm going to speak to, because I see it happening, is because of the conversations, like Ted said, it was a perfect storm.
No, I don't need a mic.
No, the recording is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need a mic. Now I get it. All right. I understand. Yes. There you go. Everybody streaming live. Hi, it's Albert.
Yeah, that's it.
So there you go. Okay, you happy? So, the point of the matter that what I'm trying to. My dog is gone.
Yeah.
Okay. What I was trying to say is that it was a very perfect storm. We had a lot of people. Again, DeQ is a great resource in India and here in the States to help us with this project. But it's happened organically. We had to take that first step. And again, 20-year, 25-year-old legacy, pre-ADA, pre-Microsoft, and the time that we've taken and the attention that's been given internally at Intuit is just starting to take root. Ted and Lori both are on a disabilities council that's aimed at understanding how to open up. I'm going to kill that dog. I love my dog. Opening up doors for employment internally at Intuit as well. So there's a whole organic structure happening.
Yeah.
That, you know, there is trepidation about moving it forward, but there's a very healthy dialogue and awareness that's happening. And we're going to be talking more tomorrow at our other session at, I think, 2:20, 2:30, about the social impact and the corporate responsibility that we've learned from this experience through everything we've done together. But, you know, Ted's being cautiously optimistic, as we all need to be, technologies being what they are. It has been a system of two steps forward, one step back. But Ted has been spearheading a lot of good things at Intuit, and I think you're going to see more.
We got a couple more questions.
One quick question, guys, because remember, we have credentials at 7:30, and I don't want you guys to be left out. So I think there's a person named Mike who had a question.
Yeah. Louis, we've got two more questions, and I think we can wrap it up.
Okay, good. Okay, go for it.
Speaking of money, how much is this package?
So the scripts are being made available for free. So for JAWS, also for NVDA.
Right.
and although they would love a donation. And I believe they will be free from GW Micro, but that has never been explicitly said to me, so I won't swear by it. The training materials will cost money for the training materials, and the prices have not been set for that. We're still developing those training materials and putting that together. But there will be a price for training materials. There'll also be a package where if you actually buy QuickBooks through My Blind Spot, they will be an Intuit reseller. That'll help fund My Blind Spot, which is the organization that's spearheading this. It's Albert's organization. We're spearheading this. So you'll have an opportunity to help fund that organization so that we can keep moving forward this by purchasing QuickBooks through that. And the package will have a pricing including training materials. And we're still working on getting that. We're just finishing up the accessibility part of it. We're pulling the training materials together now that we know how it's going to work for the next year or so.
And the training materials, we were able to hit the ground running because other Intuit partners gave us 20 years worth of source documentation to complement the effort, and it's going to be in keeping with everything that the general community uses. And Vita and Richard Kelly are now working to layer in all of the keystrokes and the commands that we would use as JAWS users.
Yep. Any other questions? Who's got dinner plans at 7:30? I do.
No, we actually, they got credentials.
What? Oh, we have another committee meeting. So all you guys, I'm going to go have dinner. And the rest of you.
wait a minute. I'm hungry too, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you guys very much. Remember, you can come by and ask any question tomorrow.
Folks, give them a nice round of applause. It's great to have great presentations like this. Kimberly Klein did wonderful. Remember, folks, for those of you that want to learn how to get the most out of Zoom Text, go to the Sterling Adaptive booth and sign up for the drawing. You will be getting a $399 class for free if you go register. And at the end of the convention, a name will be drawn, and you will be contacted. So stop by and submit your name. Hopefully, you'll be selected. Thank you, Albert. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Vita. It's wonderful stuff. And Kimberly, thank you very much for coming out here. Kimberly, I know it's unusual to be away from an airplane and be in on solid ground, but it's nice to be among all of us. So thank you all.